Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, 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 welcome, 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 everyone, once again to another Tuesday night Bible study with Praise Tabernacle Church. On behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary and Lady Zachary, I'd like to welcome everybody to our following Tuesday night Bible study. I'm your host, Elder Richard B. Taylor IV, and we have our esteemed panel on with us once again for another week with Elder Victor Bluett, who we affectionately call the Rabbi. And we have our speaker for tonight, which is Elder Oliver, Derek Oliver. And we won't have Evangelist Dub tonight. She won't be on tonight. But we should be just fine tonight. We just want to thank everybody that's tuned in and welcome everybody once again to another week of Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. As we do every week, we just want to encourage everyone to get a nugget from the Lord, to hear from the Lord tonight. And if you got any prayer requests that you would like to send out during the service, and I will mention this again at the end of the service, but now we have another option for you at Praise Tabernacle Church for prayer requests. We have an email now where you can go and send in prayer requests that will go straight to our own Evangelist Dove, and she will send it out to the leadership team of Praise Tabernacle Church. And that email is PTC4Christ@gmail.com. So during the course of the evening service tonight, if you would like to send in a prayer request or any kind of request that you may have, send it in, and we'll get it out to the leadership team and get it across to everybody. And again, we will go over it again at the end of the Bible study tonight, along with our weekly schedule at Praise Tabernacle Church. So I know a lot of people is probably on spring break this week, but we just like to thank everybody that's tuned in from London, from Germany, from the Bahamas, and all of our PTC family that tunes in, and friends, and invite somebody to tune in and listen. Give them the number, and invite somebody to tune in. Evangelize a little bit. Invite them out to tune in and listen in to our Bible study on Tuesday nights. And without further ado, I'm going to hand the next voice you will hear will be our very own Elder Derek Oliver. He is a dynamic speaker, good friend of mine, my brother, And I just want everybody to receive him. I know we can't hear y'all, but just receive him with the amen. Derek Oliver is on you.
Thank you, Elder Taylor. Appreciate the welcome. For everyone that's listening out there in radio land, wherever you are, we definitely have a word from the Lord for you today. I'm excited to be bringing the word with my panel. And just one thing before I get into the word, and being with this panel, it really has helped me grow just being on Tuesday night Bible study. It's one thing to get up here and preach. It's another thing to try to teach. It's like two different it's like two different vehicles, two different things you have to be prepared for when you teach. And I have grown spiritually just by listening to whoever the teacher is on Tuesday night. I've learned from all the teachers, all their styles and what they say. So it's just a privilege to be able to be a part of the team and, you know, do my part. But a lot of times because, you know, I started out saying I'm really not a teacher, but over the course of the year, I find myself studying like a teacher. You know, you want to find out different things. You just don't want the basics, but you want to go deeper into it because it makes your relationship with Christ that much more deeper, and that's what it has done for me. And tonight I'm going to be coming out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to give you everyone a time to get there, but 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to go over from 1 to 20, but I'm going to be skipping certain parts, but we're going to go back and hit what I missed. Because this right here, what we're going to teach tonight, I can tell you sure, me as I'm talking to you, teaching it today, this is what helped me get through the situation, is what we're about to read right now in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I put a topic on this, and it just says, keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm just going to read verse 12 right now, and then I'm going to give the breakdown. And it says, our God will not, and I'm sorry, I'm coming out of the NIV version, just so you know, I'm coming out of the NIV version. And I'm going to read verse 12, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. It says, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I'm going to stop right there. And we're going to be talking about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And in verse 12, he's ending a prayer. And he's praying, and he's saying to the Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, and he doesn't start in verse 20, but when you get time, if you go to chapter 17, chapter 18, and chapter 19, if you read about Jehoshaphat and his leadership, everything is going good in Judah in chapter 17, chapter 18, chapter 19. They're not a complaint. Everything is going good. I'm not saying they ain't got no issues in those three chapters, but pretty much everything is going good in chapter 17, 18, and 19. And then we get to chapter 20, because I believe every believer has a chapter 20. In chapter 20, something happens to Jehoshaphat and to Judah. Something happens to them. Verse 1, it says, after this. Anytime you see after this, you know something getting ready to happen. And we all have that in our lives as Christian and believers. Everything can be going good. I know everyone and got their stimulus check. Everybody living life like it's golden, flying high, don't have a care in the world because everything is just going good. At least in my family and the people I know, everybody just is just living the life like there's no tomorrow. And then chapter 20 hits. And what happens in chapter 20? You go to verse 1, and I'm reading out of the NIV version of the Bible, and we're going to see what happens to Jehoshaphat in Judah. And in verse 1, it starts out, after this, the if I mispronounce these names, I apologize. The Moabites, the Ammonites, with the Midianites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. You got three groups of people who's going to attack Jehoshaphat in Judah. They're coming after them. All three groups of people out of nowhere in verse 20 is declaring war against Jehoshaphat. And it's one thing when one group of people come after you or you got one problem. But when your problem got problems and your problems got problems and they all come on you, sometimes as Christians we get overwhelmed and we don't know what to do. Well, in this chapter 20 is going to give us what to do when we have the moment we don't know what to do. And Jehoshaphat, just let me give you a little bit about my man Jehoshaphat. He was God's leader. He was a good leader. He was a God-fearing man. He was the one people respected. He was the king of Judah. He was a godly man, and he followed God, and he ran. He made sure that the people, if they needed anything, he had people in position, that if anyone in Judah needed anything, he had governors where they can go to them and get help. Well, now it comes in chapter 20 that these three groups of people was coming after Jehoshaphat. They declared war on him, and they was coming to get him. And these three groups of people that it talks about in verse 1, they didn't even like each other. If you read and study it, they didn't like each other, but they didn't like Jehoshaphat more, so they came together to attack him. And what I'm going to say is sometime I know in my life, it seems like I'm being attacked on every hand. It seemed like if it's not my kids, stepkids, and bills, it hits you all at one time, and you don't know what to do. And Jehoshaphat gives us some tools here in what happens. In verse 1, we see that he's being attacked. And they're telling him in verse 2 and 3 and 4 that, you know, they're coming to attack them. And Jehoshaphat does something he calls a meeting. And in verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly. I'm at verse 5 now. Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, verse 6, Lord, my Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. And from verse 6 to verse 12, which I started reading, Jehoshaphat prays. But before he prays, he calls all of Judah to the courtyard. He calls all of them to the courtyard. And not only does he call them all to the courtyard, but they fasted and they begin to pray. That's what's happening in verse 5. Verse 6, he starts to pray. Verse 7, he's praying all the way to verse 12, where he ends his prayer And he says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And Jehoshaphat was being honest with the people of Judah. He wasn't hiding it. He wasn't faking it. He was being honest. And one of the things we have to do when all hell breaks out against us is, A, what he did, first thing he did, he called all of the people to the courtyard to fast and pray. What we do is when we get in trouble, we have to learn to fast and pray. We can't just go on our own. We can't just go on certain things. We have to start learning, people of God, including myself, how to fast and pray and be honest with God, because he was praying in front of everybody. This was an open prayer. All of Judah is there hearing him say, I don't know what to do. He was being honest. He didn't have no answer. And sometimes when hell comes up upon us, we don't have an answer. In order to get the answer or get to the solution, we have to fast and pray. And that's what he was doing in verse 12. He was praying, 6 through 12, he was praying. And he was being honest with God. He was being honest with the people of God. I don't know what to do. And sometime when hell hits you, you got to be honest. We can't fake the funk all the time. And we say, well, how you doing? Oh, I'm good, highly favored. And you're going through hell. A lot of times we want to cover it up, and when we cover it up and we're not being honest, we're not being honest with God. We have to be honest with God and just be like, I don't know what to do, but learn to keep your eyes on him. And what they did in verse 12, he's telling them, I don't know what to do. I don't know how are we going to get out of this situation. We're about to be attacked. They're stronger than us. They're more better than us. They're more equipped. We don't know what to do. And again, verse 12, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I like where this is going, because in verse 13, when we get to verse 13, it says, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. After they got done praying, they stood there before the Lord. The first thing we got to learn to do is what I said in the beginning, is we have to learn to fast and pray. When all hell breaks loose, we have to learn to fast and pray. And even if we don't have the directions from God, we have to still stay focused on God. Even though you don't hear from him right then and there, you still have to stay focused, because that's what they did in 13. It said in verse 13, let's read it again, verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and their children and little ones stood there before the Lord. They prayed, and now they're standing there before the Lord. And this is very important. A lot of times I miss this. As long as I've been in the church, I miss this sometime myself, is that we pray and then we leave. We don't listen for God to answer our prayers. We just pray and then we leave. And we don't listen for him to talk back to us. But here in verse 13 is very important. They stood there with their wives and their kid, and they stood there before the Lord. And this is where it gets good at, because in verse 14, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came on, Jezeel. And when the Lord came upon him, he spoke to the people. See, what happens is we're waiting to hear from God. They're waiting. And sometimes we have to wait to get an answer from God to tell us what to do. And we don't know where the answer is going to come from. But in verse 14, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehezel, son of, I'm jacking these names up, Zerah, the son of Barnea, the son of Janel, the son of Mariah, and a Levit descent of Asa, I'm sorry, right, as he stood in the assembly, Elite. In 15, and he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because this vast army for the battle is not yours, but God's. And when the Lord came upon him, he wasn't even a part of Judah. He was a guest to the group. But the Lord spoke through him to tell Jehoshaphat that this battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And sometimes when we're going through things and we got our eyes on God and we don't know what to do, sometimes God will use somebody to give us instructions on which way to go. It may not be through someone that you think. It may not be through the pastor. It could be through the elder. It may not be through the elder. It may be through the deacon. It may not be through the deacon. It may be through the mother. God is going to use somebody to give you instructions. But when we don't know what to do, we first have to learn to fast and pray. Then we got to learn to stand still. And then when we do hear from the Lord, he's telling Jehoshaphat, this battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. I'm going to slow down. Anyone have anything they want to say or add?
No, not right now. I don't have anything to add.
All right.
I think it's good, a good lesson tonight, good scripture, very powerful. But even when somebody brings to us, you know, bad information, that makes them scared, but they bring it to us, the first thing we ought to do is turn to the Lord as the king did. Very powerful lesson, very powerful passage on what to do when somebody brings you bad news and you cannot at that moment rectify it or correct it yourself, but to know who to lean on. And as you were saying earlier, who God is, and how Hezekiah in his prayer reminded God of what he's over, reminded God of what he's great at, reminding God of who he is, just reminding God that I'm here, I'm your son, I'm your child, I need your protection. For great lesson, great lesson.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Elder Blewett, because in verse 6 and 7 of the prayer, Jehoshaphat praying, and he brings up about his ancestors and how God was there for his ancestors. And it's important for us as believers. Now, I can't say for everyone I know for me, but there's people that I, like my father, he was a pastor, my grandparents, they all, faith was in the Lord, which taught me at a very young age, I saw them being dependent on the Lord. And because they was dependent on the Lord, and I saw how the Lord did it for them, this is what Jehoshaphat was praying in verse 6 and 7. He had confidence because he was saying, God of our ancestors, he drove out the inhabitants before he was even there. The Lord was working. He seen them work. He seen the Lord working in his ancestors. And because we have to remember that even if we don't know what to do, we have to remember that our fathers, whoever brought you to Christ, your mothers or your grandmothers or your big mamas or your uncles or your aunts, whoever it was, you have a remembrance that they trusted in the Lord. And you saw that the Lord delivered them out of things. Mm-hmm. And now that when you're going through something and you don't understand it, you can fall on what your mother and your father believed in. You saw that it just gives you confidence that what you're going through, you're going to get through it because he brought them through it. And not only that, but it also says that he had his own testimony that whatever the Lord has done in his life. And you know, we have to use these things when things get hard for us. We have to look at every angle of our Christianity. We got to look at everything because some things we don't understand. And the things that I don't understand, okay, it doesn't mean that God isn't with me or I'm lacking. It just means that I have to use people before me that went through things before I went through things. And that gives me the confidence in the ability that the Lord, if he did it yesterday, he can do it today, and he definitely will be able to do it tomorrow, because we know that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that. But sometimes we have to remind ourselves when we're in a crisis. And a lot of believers, when we get in a crisis, I'm speaking for myself, we go and hide, and we tell everybody everything is all right. But when you get home, you're burdened down, and you're not even asking
yes, sir,
for help, because we wanna pretend like we got it together. But in some areas in my life, Elder Taylor, Elder Blue, I don't want to say scared, but I don't know what to do. And sometimes when you don't know what to do, we lean on, I'm speaking for myself now, we lean on the wrong people. See, Jehoshaphat, he went straight to the Lord with his issue.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't understand. I don't have a clue. And that's where sometimes myself makes a mistake. When I don't have a clue, I want to try to talk to somebody other than the Lord to try to give me what I should be doing. And that's one of the biggest mistakes we can make as Christians. So that's why I love this passage of Scripture, because it's powerful, because it's plain and dry. He didn't hide the fact that he was scared. I don't know what to do, but I know what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep my eyes upon the Lord. And he called all of them down there, the men, the wives, the children. We're going to fast. We're going to pray together, and we're going to stand here until the Lord tell us what to do.
Yes,
and
sir.
It's very
yes, sir. Got one
important
more point.
That we – go ahead, Elder.
One more point while you're on this right here is that the three kingdoms that came to him are the three kingdoms that threatened to have war with him. They also had three different gods that they worshiped. So if you go back to verse 6, and this is why Jehoshaphat said what he said in his prayer. In verse 6, he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hands is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Reminding God of what he's over versus what somebody bring a problem to you about. And God is, and he's reminding God that he's over everything. And when he finished out this prayer and when God answered the prayer, I'm sure you'll get to, but it's not what people bring to our lives to disrupt our lives if we know God for who he is.
That's right.
And people will always bring false accusations or false sayings about you, thinking they're going to injure you or hinder you from being in the Word of God. So we got to keep it close who God is, what he's over, and what he's a part of. And we got to be careful how we're not intimidated by others and what they say. And Hezekiah, as you mentioned earlier, went straight to the Lord when he got the message. So he knew who his God was. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. And it's very important, and when I say this, because he knew it was very important who to go to, out of my experience and my years with the Lord, I've made the mistake, and I could say faithfully tonight, I didn't take it straight to the Lord. I took it to such and such, and such and such, and such and such, and over
you know why
experiences. Go ahead, Elder.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to add a point.
Go ahead.
Why you on this study on this point right here? You know, because we go to people because, you know, because maybe because we trust them and we think they're going to be honest with us. And also we go to people because we feel like we can get a direct answer like right away. And we don't have to wait, you know, because the Lord may not answer us right away or, you know,
right.
He may take a little longer than we want. you know, to answer our questions or give us an answer. And, you know, we may think somebody else may hear from him faster or quicker than what we can hear from him from. And so that's why we may go to somebody that we believe that we can trust and they can give us an answer like right away. You know, or,
yeah,
you know, yeah, basically tell you what you want to hear, you know, and,
yeah,
instead of what the Lord really needs you to do and how the Lord needs you to respond to a certain situation or circumstance. So this is, like Elder Blue said, this is a very good, strong lesson, you know, to really teach us that, you know, the scripture that comes to mind is, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. So, you know, not in my wife, not in my brother, not in my sister, but greater is he that is in me. So if you have an established relationship with the Lord, like Jehoshaphat did, you know, he went straight to the man. He went straight to the Father. He went straight to God. You know, he didn't get the elders' council together and ask them what they thought he should do. He went straight to the Lord.
No, he didn't.
You know, and God gave him direction on what to do.
Amen. Amen. And not only, you know, did he go straight to the man, but he called all the people together to pray to the man and to fast. And we know that certain things that we go through come out through fasting and praying. And that's another key point that we as believers, we have to get back into doing in order to get us to the point where we can just stay focused on the Lord. You know, we may not understand everything, but we still have to stay focused on the Lord. And one of the things that you just said, Elder Taylor, and I guess I'm going to take it the way the Lord wants me to go with it, is I'm just bringing up my personal experiences. Is a lot of times is me personally, if I'm going to Elder Taylor, maybe I want Elder Taylor to bail me out. If I'm going to Elder Blewett, I want Elder Blewett to bail me out. I don't know what I'm doing, Doc. You know, can you help me? Get me out of this situation.
Right.
And sometimes it's not in.
Sometimes, yeah, you know, but I guess it's a case-by-case situation, because sometimes you may need to go to a pastor. You may need to go to a fellow brother, you know. So I believe it's kind of a case-by-case scenario, but in something this serious as with Jehoshaphat the king, where what they were dealing with, you know, it's like he was running out of time. He didn't have time to go through each elder or, you know, go through all the 12 tribes or, you know, and talk to each chief. Or, you know, he didn't have time for all of that. You know, he had to go straight to the throne room, you know, and get a word from God and bring the people together and to remind God, like Elder Blewett said, to remind God who he is, what he's done for the forefathers previous up until this point.
Right. Right. I'm gonna throw something out here and then I'm gonna throw something out here just to get some clarity, because personally, as being a believer, as long as I've been a believer, and I say that because whether you're a baby saint or an old saint, sometimes I think we try to make excuses. And when we're going through something, it's like when my kids go through something and they bring it to me and then I try to help them. And sometimes my wife has to say, maybe the Lord don't want you to help them. Maybe they got to go through that in order to learn a lesson, because it ain't always up to us to bail them out every single time, because we're always bailing them out. They don't never have that relationship with the Lord. And a lot of Christians, and I was one of them, I won't bail out. And I know Elder Blewett can bail me out. I know Elder Taylor can bail me out. I don't want to go through this pain. I don't want to go through this situation. I'm not understanding. Help a brother out. And when you do that, and as Christians we do that, we begin to put crutch. We begin to be a crutch for individuals.
Yes, sir.
So when they go through certain things, they don't know how to go to the Lord themselves. And then they want to blame when things don't work out. Well, Elder Blewett, you said do this. Elder Taylor, you said do this. And I'm still in a mess. Well, because you took your problems to Elder Blewett. You took your problem. And not saying that they can't help you. But sometimes we have to learn when things get so tight, we have to take it before the Lord and be honest with him. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. And because Joseph was so honest with the Lord and with the people, he was praying this out loud. Everyone heard him say, I don't know what to do. What leader would you want to follow? I don't know what to do, but I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. And after they said the prayer, they stood there to wait to hear from God. A lot of times we don't sit there and want to wait to hear from God. We want to tell God our prayer and want him to fix it right now. Like Burger King, we want it our way. The Lord don't operate the way we operate. He's not going to answer because we want to answer right now. Sometimes we got to wait and hear it. And then when the Spirit fell upon, I can't say his name, I'm sorry, fell upon thank you.
What verse?
Fell
what
upon
verse?
Him. Verse 14. When the Spirit fell upon him to tell Jehoshaphat the battle, I'm not going to even try to say it again. But when the Spirit fell upon him to tell Jehoshaphat what to do. See, they were praying. They stopped. The Lord went to him and told him what to tell Jehoshaphat. And sometimes that's what will happen. And if we could take it to the Lord first, maybe then Elder Blewett, Elder Taylor, someone will come to you that the Lord is sending to you to help you with the situation. But if you're taking it to them first, we serve a jealous God. We need to take it to God first. But in order to take it to him first, you got to have a relationship with him. In order to have a relationship with him, you have to read and study his word. If you read and study his word, you know him. You know he's a jealous God. I'm not questioning the bishop, the elders, the deacon. I'm not questioning any of their ability, but they're not the Lord. And if I take my problem to them before I take it to God, God is going to look at me like I'm crazy because now I'm putting my faith in man and not him. So it's important that when we're listening and we're seeing this, our faith and our ability need to be on the Lord. And sometimes the Lord wants you by yourself so he can deal directly with you to build you up to understand that the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. It's one
thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Elder.
All right. Well, you're naming me and Elder Taylor, so, and like other people in church that do help folks or whatnot. If we stay in the Word of God, if we stay abiding in his Word, if we stay in his commandments, we stay in what he asks us to do, then when a problem arises in somebody else's life and they do come to us, we ought to be able or humble enough to hear the word of the Lord, to give that person a reasonable answer from the Lord.
Right.
So,
if
that's the case. So, I know I mentioned Hezekiah earlier because he did go before the Lord also when the king of Sennacherib came against him. But talking about Jehoshaphat. So if we stay in the Word of God, if we try to abide the best we can, and wait on word from the Lord, when somebody do come to us with a problem, then we can be in the spirit of the Lord with his message on what's required of us to give an answer to. But it's good that he sought the Lord first. And the scripture says that he sought the Lord first before the prophet gave the answer. So God saw the request of him and then gave
right.
the answer to the prophet to speak to him.
Exactly.
So yeah, if we,
right.
if we just stay in order, if we stay in order, this thing will work so much better. It would work so much better if we stay in order to help people. That's how we help people.
Correct. So let me ask you a question. Go ahead, Elder Taylor, but I want to come back to you, Elder Bluette, because I got a question. Go ahead, Elder Taylor.
Well, Elder Bluette kind of stole my thunder a little bit.
okay.
You know, because when – so because when you – what he did was he brought the people together, you know, and then they all fasted and went before the Lord, correct? So –
correct.
Just like you using me and Elder Bluette, you know, as examples, if I came to you with an issue or a problem, then or vice versa, you came to me, I'm gonna say, let us go before the Lord together and bombard heaven. Let us go before the Lord together and seek his face, so that he can give a word, not so much just to me to give to you. Now, if he give me a word to give to you, then that's okay. But let us go before the Lord together, just like Jehoshaphat brought the people together, and they fasted, and they went before the Lord together. And then he gave the word to one of the prophets that was in the congregation. So he didn't go before the Lord first and then brought the people together. So it's different scenarios. There's so many different scenarios that can play into these kind of situations. But I just wanted to add that point in.
Right. And like you said, there's a lot of different scenarios. But this is the way, you know, I want to say the way that it's supposed to be. You know, you go to God, you take it to him. And then he'll use someone, a prophet, to give you the answer you need.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it's supposed
yes,
to
sir.
Work. But
yes, sir.
I'm just being honest in my course of walk. When I read this, and I read this several times, it just really hit me, really, a lot of the times, I'm out of order. And if I'm out of order, and my ability of going to God first, and you know, I know the, I'm not saying I know the word, but sometimes we get lazy and we want to put the burden on somebody else to bail us out.
Right.
I'm only speaking
right,
from my experience.
Right.
Now, this is the perfect way it works. This is the way it tells us it works. But from my experience in being a child of God, I always skip. And if I'm skipping a certain important part of the situation, and the Lord gives us the direction, this is how you do it, A, B, and C, but I don't want to go, I'm going A to C, I'm skipping B, or I'm skipping A, going to B and C. And it makes matters worse. Even though this is not what it's showing us, in my experience, and I've seen other people do it, I do it with my kids. They come to me with a problem, the first thing I want to do, I don't pray about it. I'm telling them how to fix the problem. And I'll even throw a scripture in there. But I ain't prayed about nothing because I know everything. Because it's my kid. I'm not going to let my kid. I'm telling them. I ain't taking it before the Lord. I ain't fast about nothing. And I'm just being honest. And when we do that, what I'm doing is I'm taking the ability of them taking it to the Lord first. And I'm not even taking it to the Lord. I'm just going to tell them, because I'm seasoned enough, this is what you need to do. I ain't prayed about it. I ain't said nothing. This is the boom. And because I've been in church and I'm an elder and I'm sitting on the high, I know exactly what I'm talking about. But that first step, I didn't fast about it. I didn't pray about it. I'm just trying to fix it. And then, and the only reason I'm using my son, because I went through this. And then my wife told me, maybe you should just chill for a moment. Stop trying to help. Let them figure it out. And when I prayed about it, my answers to the questions that was coming to me was totally different. And I had, it took me a minute to get there. It took me a minute. And I've seen other people, and certainly it may not be with their kids. It could be with another issue. They don't take it to the Lord first. They take it to the person they want to help clean it up. And the person that try to help clean it up, they're not fasting and praying because we think we got a lot of scriptures in ourselves. We want to give what we think. And what we think really don't mean anything because it's the Lord's will, not our will. And this is what I'm trying to let everyone understand. This is the correct way of doing what the Lord wants us to do. Take it to Him. You fast about it. You pray about it. You take it to Him. And then through whatever the Lord uses, if He uses a prophet, He uses a prophet. And that's how we're supposed to get through tough times that we don't understand how we're going to make it. Some of us, and I'm not, you know, I'm just speaking in general, have more money going out than we got coming in, and we don't know how we're going to make it. Well, most people say, well, if you struggling, go to someone that got some money and ask them for a loan. No, take it to the Lord first. Pray about it. Fast about it. And I guarantee you the Lord will work it out for you. Now, most people are like, yeah, I've seen it happen. And when he was praying about answers, I've seen people who prayed and fasted, and all of a sudden someone out of the clear blue just out of nowhere brought money to a person for no reason whatsoever. That's the Lord working it out. That's the Lord doing it the way he wants it to be done. But if I know that I can go to Elder Bluette and he's going to give me $30 because I'm $30 short, I just know that. I ain't prayed about it. I'm just going off of my own understanding. He's going to give me
$30. I got you.
See what I'm saying? You see how you say he got me? But the thing about it is if I'm not being a good steward over it, at some point, Elder Bullex, I can't help you no more, even if it is just a little $30 or $20 or what it is. It's important that, and this is where we make mistakes. I make mistakes because I think Elder Bluett got me, Elder Taylor got me, the bishop got me, the church got me. No, if you're not being a good steward, now you're going to blame them, and we want to talk about them because they didn't help us. Well, you didn't take it to the Lord in the first place. Now, there may be a situation, if I took it to the Lord first, I may not even have to ask Elder Bluett. He may just see me and put it in my hand.
Yes, sir.
And these are the type of blessings that if we don't, if we're in tune with the Lord and we're doing what the Lord tells us to do and take it to Him first, we may not even have to talk. I may not even have to talk to Elder Taylor. I may not even have to talk to Elder Bluett. He'll know a situation, and I ain't even got to say nothing to him. The Lord just put on my heart to give you this. And it's between us. Don't nobody else know about it.
Right.
That's where we have to get to as a body of believers, trusting in the Lord before we go to man. Not that we can't go to him. Not that they're not qualified. Not that they can't help us. But take it to the Lord first, because we'll eliminate a lot of the nonsense by just going to him or going to them and saying it. Because if you go to him or go to somebody and you're burdened down and you don't know what to do, I'm telling you, take it to the Lord. It will make the situation so much better. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go all the way there. I know I talked too much. But there's 3 points or 3 promises that are made in verse 17 and verse 20 that are made. In verse 17, one of the promises is, verse 17, I'm going to read verse 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. The last part of 17 is one of the promises is the Lord will be with you. Once we begin to fast and pray, and once we begin to stand still, and you know that the battle is not yours, you know the Lord will be with you. That's one of the promises that he's made to us. The Lord will be with us regardless of the situation, regardless how it looks on the outside. The Lord will be with us. In verse 20, another promise that he makes, early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah, and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." What he's saying is, the second thing is, the Lord will uphold us. In 17, he said he'll be with you. In verse 20, he said that I will uphold you. And at the end of it, it says you will be successful. And we have to remember those things just in that order when we don't know what to do. First thing we got to do is we got to fast and pray. Second thing we got to do, we got to wait to hear from God. And the fourth thing we need to do is we got to know that God will be with us. God will uphold us, and we will be successful. Those are 5 points I'm just trying to make tonight. If we do those 5 things as we live our life as Christians, and we know that we need to fast and pray, we also need to know that we need to stand still and listen for God to give us what he wants us to do, then we also got to know that he will be with us, he will uphold us, and we will be successful. And if we can do those things, we can conquer any enemy that tries to attack us. We can conquer anything that comes before us and our families because we're doing those things, and God is a God that shall not lie. He will uphold us. He will be with us, and we will be successful if we just fast and pray and listen for him. And when we're praying to him, but we also got a two-way street. We got to listen for him to tell us what to do. They stood still, and they waited to hear the Lord, for them to tell them what to do next. And if we can do those things, I think we will be a better Christian. I think we can conquer more than what we're conquering. And like I said before, I use myself as an example. I failed at this many times by trying to skip steps. I just want to be successful, but I'm not fasting and praying. And then we think that God is going to help us. Or if I'm fasting and praying, but I'm not waiting to hear what God tells me to do, then I'm just out there. And this is what we do. And this scripture here, if you read this, in the entirety, it will tell us how to be successful when we're going through hard times. It will tell us how to make it, fasting and praying. Yes. A lot of people don't want to fast and pray no more. We just don't want to do it. We just want to do it. And when I say this, I'm not being funny, but we want to do these cheap fasts. We don't want to fast the way the Lord telling us to fast. We don't want to cut out the TV. We don't want to cut off the phone. We don't want to pull away from the plate. We don't want to stop the things that we're doing. And then when the issues come up, we wonder why we have so much trouble going to the Lord. Then we go to church and we put on the front like everything is okay. And you go home and cry yourself to sleep at night. And I'm just using different examples. Like Elchel said, everything's a little different. But if we do it the way that the Lord shows us how to do it, I think we all could be successful.
Yes, sir. Speaking the truth.
And if you read, and I know I was a little fast with it, this is something you just can't get overnight or through a lesson. It's something you got to go back and read it over and over and over and over again. Because I get excited when I read it, because he's being honest. And if I can be honest, sometimes I don't know what to do. But I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. And as long as I keep my eyes on the Lord and I begin to fast and I pray, I know the Lord is going to give me the answers that I need. And as believers, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. Just remember that you can't skip steps and think the Lord is going to continue to bless you. I know a lot of people won't agree with that, but I'm just telling you, you can't skip steps. And the only reason I'm using money as an example right now, because I think everyone can understand money, you can't be foolish with your finances and think God is going to clean you up every time you make foolish decisions with your money. I'm just letting everybody know that because they got these checks. And I'm just telling you, at some point, if you're not wise and smart and fasting and praying and just being foolish, Elder Oliver can't help you. It's one thing being foolish. It's one thing being in trouble. And I'm just saying it's just very important that we do the right things. I can't take my whole check and go out and invest in lottery tickets and go into the casino. And then when my mortgage is due, I got to go call Elder Blewett. And I'm glad he said he got me as quick as he said he got me. But if he knew what I was doing, I wonder how quick would he say. I wonder how quick he'd be ready to help me. That's the point I'm trying to get out there. But we've all made the mistakes, and I'm not talking about, you know what I'm saying. And I think in having fun with this, if I needed help, I know Elder Blewett, Elder Taylor would do all they can to help me and anybody else in that matter. But at some point, we got to learn to stand up, and we can't be doing foolish things. And what I'm talking about is doing foolish things. And even myself, and I, when I say this is because I want people to understand, I make mistakes just as babes in Christ make mistakes. And I try to skip steps and want the Lord to bless me. But the Lord is telling me that you can't keep missing these steps. You can't keep missing these steps. Because pretty soon, I'm going to hold you accountable for what you know. You know your mortgage is due on the first. You ain't got no business doing what you're doing. And any of the elders, deacons, or anyone that would tell me that and give me, and they would still help you. But at some point, we got to be accountable for ourselves. And so many people are running around here looking for handouts and looking for crutches, and they don't want to handle the responsibility on their own. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to tell my son. You got to figure this out for yourself. At some point, I'll help you if you fall. I'll scrape your knees. I'll do whatever I can there. But at some point, you have to man up and be accountable for what you do. And one of the ways you do that is by praying and fasting. And I can't get over that enough. When you're in trouble, pray and fast. When you don't know what to do, pray and fast. And wait on God to say what he's going to do. That's it. That's all I got. I hope I was a blessing. I hope you learned something from this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Read the whole chapter, and it will give you steps on how to be successful when you're going through something that you don't know what to do or what's going on or why it happened. That's all I got, fellas.
All right. All right, Elder Blewett, would you like to add anything else before we get ready to close out?
No. He closed it. Elder Oliver closed it out real good. You know, no matter what the situation, no matter who done something for you in the past and how they done it and how you benefit, first thing you need to do is turn to the Lord. Trust in God that he will supply all your needs. And if we can go back to, I think it's verse 17 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against, for the Lord will be with you. So the Lord wants to stand with us. We just got to trust him that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. We just got to trust him and bring all our problems to him first before we go to anybody else. And he'll direct others to be in our lane, in our path of the steps that he has ordered to meet us where the need needs to be met. Good lesson.
All right. And another thing I like about this chapter in chapter 20 is that, you know, I recommend that everybody read this whole chapter and how it ends and everything, because the Judah and Jerusalem didn't even have to raise a sword. They didn't even have to raise a sword. That's how God intervened on their behalf when he set up an ambush. You know, that could have been the title right there, when the ambush happens, you know, because he set up the ambush. And all they had to do was go collect the spoils. And for 4 or 5 days, collecting spoils. Now their whole country is richer because of it. Not only did he destroy their enemies, but now they get to collect the spoils from the enemies. You know, so great, great lesson, Elder Oliver. What's the title? Keeping your eyes on the Lord. And that's what we have to do as a collective body of believers, as individual believer. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord. One of the things that I do when I wake up in the morning is say, thank you, Jesus, is because he allowed my eyes to open one more time. And I don't take that lightly, especially in a day and age like this where there just seems to be death all around us. And I just thank the Lord that he allowed me, my wife, our children, our church family members, friends, relatives to see another day. And I am so grateful for that, because I would like to think that I keep my eyes on the Lord as well. And it may not always be, you know, but most of the time I try to keep my eyes on the Lord, because this flesh is something else. And we know this flesh can get in the way, and this flesh can be discouraging. But the spirit man is greater. That's why that scripture that came to me earlier, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So great lesson, Elder Oliver, keeping your eyes on the Lord, coming out of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Just read the whole chapter when you at your leisure, when you get a chance. It's encouraging, and it lets you know how God can intervene on your behalf, especially when you take the right steps to get his attention. So it's great word. Elder Blewett, I appreciate you, my brother, for your comment and input as being part of the panel. I think everyone over in London and Germany and the Bahamas, I think our PTC family, the ones that have tuned in on consistently on a weekly basis, that tune in to listen to Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, I thank you guys for tuning in and supporting. And friends and family members that are not part of Praise Tabernacle, but tune in and listen, being guests of ours on a weekly basis, I thank you. And I thank God for you. I thank God for everyone that tunes in on any of our services throughout the week. And I just give God glory and honor for you. We're going to say a quick prayer, then a couple of announcements, and then we're going to dismiss. Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for what you've done tonight, Lord God. I pray that you would touch your manservant, Lord God, in a supernatural and super spiritual way, Lord God. Revive him, renew him, restore him, Lord God, for everything that he's given out for your glory, Lord God. And that you touch him, that the enemy cannot come and touch him in any kind of way with no infirmity or any other thing against his home, against his household, against his family, Lord God, that you just have your way continually in his life, Lord God, that he will continue to learn from you, Lord God, and hear from you. And I say thank you for the man of God tonight as he taught the word of the Blewett. myself, watch over our families, keep our families safe and sound each and every day, Lord God. We be a hedge of protection over everyone that is listening tonight. Be a hedge of protection over all of us. I don't care what part of the world you are in, you're tuned in tonight. Consider yourself covered by the blood of Jesus, and be inside that hedge of protection, that the Lord will cover us and keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And as we continue, as we leave this radio station tonight, but not your presence, Lord, our great commission is Matthew 28:19-20, and it says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And we just got a few quick announcements, and then we'll be done. D&K Bible Study on Mondays at 7 p.m. Praise Tabernacle Bible Study every week at 7 p.m. Did I say 7 a.m. for D&K? It's 7 p.m. I'm sorry if I said 7 a.m., but it's 7 p.m. for D&K Bible Break, and 7 p.m. for Truth Tonight Bible Study. And then Thursday, it'll be Bishop Omar Zachary, our pastor of Praise Tabernacle Church and family. I'm not sure if they'll be on this Thursday or not, because I believe they're on spring break. And then Sunday mornings, 9 a.m., Praise Tabernacle Church will be on Facebook Live and Chaos Blog Talk Radio. Tune in with us on a weekly basis for those that can't make it out, or those that may be watching in other cities or states here in America, or listening on Chaos Blog Talk Radio in other countries such as London, Germany, and the Bahamas. And we just want to thank you. And again, prayer request email. We have a new feature that we're offering out. Share with your friends. I will say it slow so that you can write it down. It is PTC for FOR Christ. PTC for Christ at gmail.com. That is our new email for prayer requests or any other kind of request that you may have that you think that we as a ministry can help with. Just go to that, email us, get in touch with us, and our own evangelist, Dove Stanton, will get that out to the leadership team on a weekly basis. If there's an emergency, I'm sure she will probably get it out a lot quicker. You know, if you have a prayer request, you know, or you would like to speak to anybody that you heard, or anybody that's been on the panel that you would like a request to speak to on a more personal level, put it in the email. All right. So just be mindful that, you know, it may take, you know, a little time since this is new to us. All right. So just be encouraged. Stay encouraged. Know that God has you in everything that you do and say, and keep your eyes on the Lord. You are now dismissed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great job, Elder Oliver.
Thank you. Thank you.